ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Eternal servant, you can deal with me in any way you please.
Try to understand this verse. Krishna is sarva karana karanam.
He is the cause of all causes.
Not a blade of grass moves without his sanction. And a devotee knowing this, that he is the cause of all causes, whatever happens in a devotee's life, he accepts that it's coming ultimately from Krishna for his purification. He doesn't try to see things materially. Why is this happening? It's not fair. The fact is, it's Krishna's arrangement. Krishna's not always fair by your standards. Sometimes Krishna steals butter. Huh? Let us examine the life of Lord Sri Krishna, the supreme absolute truth. First of all, he steals butter, which means he's a thief. Huh? Makanchor. Second of all, he's Ranchorji. He ran from the battlefield. Third of all, he was dancing with unmarried girls in the middle of the night. It appears like he's immoral also. What else did he do? He promised he would not lift a weapon or fight on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, but he picked up a wagon wheel to defeat Bhishma, which means he lied. Huh? Not only that, but he told Yudhisthira to lie, he told Arjuna to lie. Huh? So from material standards, historically, we have to understand Krishna is not always fair. Huh? If you're trying to calculate according to your relative standards, Krishna will not necessarily always be fair. But even when he's unfair, he's fair. He's perfect and complete. Because everything he does is for the pleasure of his devotees ultimately. Everything he does is for the benefit of everyone involved. So sometimes, from all practical purposes, we don't deserve what we get. At least we don't think we do. Of course, we do not really know what we did in our past lives to accept this karma. We probably deserve, a devotee feels he deserves more. No matter how bad things are, a devotee never says, "Why is this happening to me?" A devotee says, "My God, I deserve so much more, but Krishna, you're so kind, you're just giving me a little sample of my proper debt. Huh? My karmic debt." This is how a devotee thinks. A devotee knows that Krishna is the cause of all causes. Srila Prabhupada tells a story in Calcutta during the Second World War. There were bombs. Prabhupada would like to imitate bombs. All around Calcutta there was these sounds of bombs falling, and the siren was going. And radar, air raid, everyone was running. Come to the bomb shelters, go to the subways, hide. Prabhupada was cooking for his deities. So the devotees, so his family members and friends, they ran. It's the air raid siren, the bombs are going off. Come, let's get out of here, let's go to the bomb shelter. Prabhupada, I am cooking my puris for Krishna. You go. So while everyone was thinking that these bombs were death personified, they were running away like anything, Prabhupada told us, that he said that I could see that Krishna was coming in the form of these bombs. So I was making some nice puris to offer when Krishna came. Because you always offer a special guest some prasad, right? So he was seeing Krishna, even in the most fearful condition of life. Now compare your anxieties today to bombs dropping right next to you. Prabhupada could have said, ah, it's those stupid Japanese people. They're just so lusty and angry. Why are they hurting our city? What did Calcutta do to Japan? What do we have to do with this war? We're innocent people. Why are they doing like this? He could have said like that. Everyone else was saying like that. But Prabhupada didn't see any Japanese planes. He just saw Krishna. So Krishna's through these Japanese people, Krishna can drop bombs. It's no problem. Huh? He's doing it just for us. Just because this is what we need. So a devotee is not concerned so much with the relative cause. A devotee is concerned with the absolute cause, the cause of all causes, or Krishna. And because he sees the hand of Krishna, therefore he's always happy. He's always peaceful. He's always grateful. Tathena kampam sushamikshimano bunjana evatmita kritanje pagam. Even in the face of the worst suffering, a devotee with folded hands thanks God. I deserve worse, but you are so kind, you are giving me this out of your mercy because it helps me become a better servant. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed, my dear Lord, if you want, you can protect me. If you want, you can kill me. Because you are my master, you have every right to deal with me in any way you please. Because I am your servant, my only position is to gratefully accept whatever mercy comes and continue serving. So when we say, Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas, that we are servants of Krishna, that we are the servants of the servants of Krishna, what does it mean to be das? What does it mean to be a servant? How much do we actually contemplate the significant, essential meaning of this word servant or seva, service? Servant means that you are existing for the pleasure of the person you are serving. If you are thinking that he is existing for your pleasure, then you are no longer servant, you are master. If you are expecting something in return, then you are no longer servant. A servant is simply existing to give pleasure and facilities to the master. To the degree we want anything in return, we are not servant. We so lightly and loosely use this word servant, but a servant in true sense is unmotivated. A servant is not fussy or particular. A servant is simply at the disposal of the master for the pleasure of the master. There's no other questions. There's no other considerations. That is what it means to be a servant. And Prahlad Maharaj in this verse, he says, a servant who desires material profits from his master is certainly not a qualified servant or a pure devotee. Similarly, a master who bestows benedictions upon his servant because of a desire to maintain a prestigious position as a master is also not a pure master. Very important. First, we have understood what is the condition of a real servant. What is the definition of a servant? Now, what is a real master? A master is one who is protecting and caring for his servant. A true master will never give the servant something that is not good for the servant. At least he will never encourage that. Sometimes someone will just say anything and do anything, even if it's not good for a person, just to maintain a prestigious position of having so many disciples or so many followers. Or in this case, Prabhupada describes the demigods. Sometimes because the people in the modes of material nature who worship the demigods ask for material benedictions, the demigods are obliged to give them material benedictions. Therefore, according to this definition, they're not pure masters, because they're not really concerned with the welfare of their servant. But a pure master will even hurt and cause pain to the servant if it's good for the servant. The real master is even prepared to take the risk of being rejected by the servant to give the servant the right thing. Huh? And this is the way Krishna works. Sometimes the demigods will give you whatever you want if you do the proper jaga. Here Prabhupada is using the example of Vritasura. Vritasura, he was doing jaga to Lord Shiva. What was he doing? He was taking the flesh from his own body, cutting it off with a knife, and offering it to the sacred fire and burning it with a mantra to Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva was not responding. This worship is in the to give the servant the right thing. Huh? And this is the way Krishna works. Sometimes the demigods will give you whatever you want if you do the proper jaga. Here Prabhupada is using the example of Vritasura. Vritasura, he was doing jaga to Lord Shiva. What was he doing? He was taking the flesh from his own body, cutting it off with a knife and offering it to the sacred fire and burning it with a mantra to Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva was not responding. This worship is in the mode of ignorance. So again and again he was tearing off, cutting, slicing his own flesh and blood, and very loudly crying out the names of Shankar and offering the flesh in the fire. Still it didn't work. Finally, he was about to cut off his head and put his whole body in the fire. And just before he did it, Lord Shiva came and said, all right, enough, I'm here. What do you want? He said, I want the benediction that anyone I touch with my hand, their heads will crack and die. Lord Shiva said, my God, if that's what you want, that's what you get. Ashutosh, I am easily satisfied. I give benedictions very easy. It's not good for you, but what can I say? Take it. You have satisfied me. So then Vritarasura said, ha, Lord Shiva, you have a very lovely wife, very charming in all respects. I want your wife. But how can I have your wife as long as you're present? Therefore, I will touch your head. And crack. So Lord Shiva knew the power of his own benediction, so he began to run. He was running and running, and Vritarasura was running after him. And Lord Shiva didn't know what to do. But he, Vaishnavanam Yatasambhu, he's the best devotee of Krishna. And Krishna always protects his devotee. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranasyati. So Lord Krishna, who's always the protector of devotees, he came to the scene and looked at Lord Shiva and said, my God, to see you give these benedictions to these crazy devotees, what is the result? But I will protect you. It is my promise. Krishna will break his own promise if it's just a matter of his own prestige. but he'll never break the promise of his devotees. And he told Arjuna that you declare it boldly that I will always protect my devotees. So that's one word you can be assured of. Krishna will never, he will never dismiss. So Krishna disguised himself as a young boy. And the young boy went up to Vritrasura. What are you doing? He said, I am going to kill Lord Shiva and take his wife. How are you possibly going to kill Lord Shiva? He's the best demigod. What do you think you can do to kill him? He said, I have gotten the boon to touch his head and crack. He said, Lord Shiva, I know this Lord Shiva. He's very cheap giving his benedictions. But I'll tell you something, most of his benedictions do not work. What? Does not work? What do you mean does not work? Prakasura. Prakasura was very confused. He said, it will work. I did much tapasya for this. He said, no. So many people do so much tapasya, and then just he gives them something and it doesn't work. And then, you know what embarrassment it is? All the demigods and all the rishis and everyone are looking at you, chasing after Lord Shiva. Then you finally catch him and you touch him his head and nothing happens. You'll be a laughing stock. Everyone will just think, what a fool this Prakasura is. He believed Lord Shiva. And Vishnu, you know, through his illusory energy, how he could completely bewilder a person's mind. What to speak when he personally wants to talk to bewilder your mind? By his illusory energy, he completely, with his words, confused the mind of Vrikasura, and he didn't know what to do. And then the young boy said, huh, I know what you should do. You should test to see Lord Shiva's prowess. Avoid embarrassment. Touch your own head, see if it works. It won't work, though. Believe me, it won't work. So he said, that's ready. Sound advice. So he touched his head. It cracked, it exploded, and he died. So the demigods, it is described that they are not very good masters. They're not pure masters because they'll give you what you want. But Vishnu and his devotees, they are pure masters because they will give you what you need. Krishna is prepared to put you in complete anxiety if you need it, even at the risk that you may reject him. Huh? That's a very important thing to understand. Krishna will take everything away sometimes, knowing that you may say, this stupid Krishna, why is he doing this to me? I will become a karmi. Huh? Or I will worship the demigods. I can't tolerate this. Krishna is God. I'm such a good person. I'm noble. I'm loyal. I'm virtuous. I've done so many good things. I don't deserve this. Why is it happening to me? It should happen to my friend instead. She deserves it, but not me. Huh? It's not fair. Krishna knows that many people will leave his service because he's giving him the best thing. Because the best thing is not always what you want. And we may ask for something that we want, but the real devotees of Krishna and Krishna, they will tell you what you need, even if it's the thing you want the least. Huh? That is a real master. That is a pure master. One who is genuinely concerned for one's spiritual life. And that is the position of Krishna. Lord Nrsimhadev allowed Prahlad to be put through these persecutions for so long. Prahlad could have said, Lord Nrsimhadev, you could have appeared the first time my father tried to hurt me. Why did you wait so long? He didn't say like that. He said, my dear Lord, you are the pure master. You gave me just what I needed. And I do not want to be a mixed servant. In life or death, pleasure, pain, honor, dishonor, I simply want your lotus-like feet on my head. I want to be your servant. I want to be the servant of your servants. That is the only prayer of Prahlad. He wants to be a pure servant of the Supreme Pure Master. That is the only platform where we can find real happiness, real peace, and real fulfillment in life. All the other temporary arrangements that come before us for some apparent happiness, apparent relief, it is all, in essence, an illusion. It may temporarily, we'll accept it, we will accept these things if it temporarily helps me in my Krishna consciousness. But if it's not the will of God, we don't care. And if it's not conducive to my Krishna consciousness, I will reject it. But we're not very concerned with the things in themselves, because we know that they are empty, superficial, and illusory. The only happiness, the only peace, the only fulfillment that we'll ever find in truth anywhere is in this pure service attitude toward the pure master and his servants. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.